Stay tuned for a message from Walmart after the show.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing.
And I'm Anna Palmer. Here's Plug-In with Playbook's final convention week lineup. This morning, we'll kick off the series at 9 a.m. with Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien. And we have some news. Wednesday at 9 a.m., Mark Meadows, the White House Chief of Staff, will join us. Thursday at 9 a.m., Jared Kushner. Red, whites, and blues. Triumphant and bold music in a dramatic, high-ceilinged banquet hall coupled with a gloomy portrait of Democrats. The Republican convention kicked off last night in Washington, offering a full-throated defense of President Donald Trump and his governance in the middle of a pandemic that has killed more than 177,000 Americans in 6 months on his watch.
The dueling themes of the two campaigns, promises made, promises kept, and build back better, offer much of what you need to know about how the two parties see the 2020 election. Republicans are trying to force Americans to think back to before this virus, for which Trump takes no responsibility, while Democrats are offering Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as a fever-reducing Advil of sorts to rid the country of what they consider the virus of Trumpism.
As nearly all of the coverage reflects, there was a fair bit of revisionist history in the GOP programming Monday night. Keep listening for that. But in just one sense, the programming was a bit more tethered to reality in that it positioned Republicans and Democrats as warring tribes locked in continual conflict instead of the two parties being on the brink of a peace accord. As Maya King and Sam Mintz put it, Republicans went all in on race on night one. For a president credibly accused of stoking racial fears and divisions throughout his term, Trump, with his choice of speakers, leaned hard into the topic during the first night of his convention on Monday.
Tim Scott, the only black Republican senator and one of three black senators in the Senate, offered a line that will be quoted for years to come. Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. That's why I believe the next American century can be better than the last. King and Mintz write Nikki Haley spoke of her Indian roots and alluded to her decision to take down the Confederate flag. Herschel Walker said he's seen racism up close and it's not Donald Trump. The New York Times A1 story has a look at how Trump and Republicans are engaged in sweeping revisionism about Trump's management of the coronavirus, his record on race, and much else. The Post Big Picture looks at how the convention began with a dark denunciation of Democrats and warnings about radical liberals.
The Post also has a 30,000-foot look at how Trump has completely commandeered the Republican Party, while our colleague Stephen Shepard had the best and worst moments of the night, naming the White House as the breakout star, and how Trump brushed aside protocol and possibly violated federal law by using it in his convention. Natasha Karecki has a scoop on the latest Republican DOJ appointees urging against a Trump second term.
Karen Handel lost her suburban Atlanta House seat in the 2018 wave to Lucy McBath. Handel beat John Ossoff in 2017. Handel's now running a TV ad attempting to tie McBath to violent protests around the country, saying McBath supported those who attacked the police, vowing to stand up while she's in Congress. The AP has the latest in Wisconsin, where Kenosha protesters and police are clashing after a black man, Jacob Blake, was shot. And our colleagues Maggie Severn, Michael Stratford, and Brandon Ambrosio are following the Jerry Falwell story. They write that Falwell had agreed to resign from Liberty University before backtracking, according to the university.
Zach Montalero has the latest on mail-in voting, with black and Latino voters wary of mail-in voting, which could be a problem for Democrats this fall. And here's what's on tap for Trump's Tuesday. The president will attend First Lady Melania Trump's GOP convention remarks in the Rose Garden at 10:30 p.m. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
From the beginning of the pandemic, Walmart's focus has been and continues to be the health and safety of our associates and the communities we serve. That's why we're now requiring shoppers to wear face coverings in our stores. It's a simple step that everyone can take for their safety and the safety of others. Walmart is also working to support the associates who work so hard for our customers, rewarding our store, club, distribution center, and fulfillment center associates with their third special cash bonus this year. Learn more about our efforts at walmart.com/hereforyou.